mountaintop crosses torn down and burned, churches under siege, soldiers encouraged to marry Christian women in forced conversions. Those are just some of the things happening in Christian villages in Burma. Human rights groups accuse the military regime in Burma of trying to wipe out Christianity, about 6% of the population in the mostly Buddhist country. The military junta has been accused of committing widespread human rights abuses since it took power in 1988. The abuses have landed in the international spotlight, largely thanks to Nobel Prize-winning Aung San Suu Kyi, for years under arrest for leading peaceful opposition to the regime. Now, according to Christian Solidarity Worldwide, the military junta is enacting a village-by-village plan to impose the state religion, Buddhism, on everyone. They say an apparently government-approved document called Program to Destroy the Christian Religion in Burma has been circulating throughout the country, detailing ways to implement the plan. Christian Solidarity Worldwide's advocacy officer for South Asia, Benedict Rogers, has recently returned from Burma and has compiled a report of abuses against the small Christian communities there. It's called Carrying the Cross, the military regime's campaign of restriction, discrimination, and persecution against Christians in Burma. I asked him what led him to make such damning accusations against the military regime.
I was surprised myself to find myself reaching that conclusion. But through the process of extensive research over the last year, both in terms of the physical attacks on Christians in various parts of Burma, and in terms of the some of the statements that have come out from the regime, I think it is very clear that the regime has a very strong anti-Christian agenda. It's important to stress, though, that manifests itself in different ways, and in some parts of the country, it's much more subtle. And you could go to parts of the country and see churches worshipping openly and not think there was a problem. So it's subtle in some areas. It's outright physical destruction in other areas.
First of all, let me ask, how many Christians are there in Burma, and are they concentrated in one or more areas?
It's very difficult to have an accurate figure because there hasn't been a population census for many years. But they are largely concentrated among the ethnic minority groups, the Karen, the Kareni, the Chin, the Kuchin, and the Naga. In particular, the ethnic minorities in total amount to about 40% of the population, and it's possibly safe to say about 10% are Christian. So it's roughly 10% of the population are Christian.
Now, when you say that you were surprised by some of your findings, what exactly surprised you about them, and where were you getting your information about this campaign against Christians?
The reason I was surprised was that all the people of Burma are suffering, Buddhists and Muslims as well, and I had previously not appreciated the extent of the anti-Christian dimension to the regime's behavior. But it was very clear from the evidence I found that, for example, when they attack Karen ethnic villages, they very often will, when I say they, the military very often will single out the church, and they'll leave the Buddhist monastery standing, but they'll burn down the church. And there are a number of explicit statements from the regime, including a document that has been widely circulated that is believed to have come from the Ministry of Religious Affairs, or at least with the approval of the Ministry of Religious Affairs. But of course, the ministry would deny that. But it's a document that is headlined Program for the Destruction of Christianity, and it's 17 points. It actually begins, "There shall be no home where the Christian religion is practiced." Now, that's the rhetoric of the regime. In practice, there is a degree of religious freedom. Churches can function and can worship, but they are restricted. But I was surprised by how much evidence there was of this, which I hadn't previously appreciated.
Just on the validity of this document that you say was perhaps promulgated by the Religious Affairs Department of the government, what leads you to believe that that is an official document?
Well, it has come to me from multiple sources, several sources independently of each other, and I actually have the Burmese version of the document. And the document is actually headed, it's headed with a Buddhist name at the top, but underneath it, it says Ministry of Religious Affairs. We have tried to go through diplomatic channels privately to contact the Ministry of Religious Affairs to get their response, and they of course deny it. But in a sense, you know, they probably would deny it. They have done nothing publicly to contradict the statement, and so the fact that the document says Ministry of Religious Affairs on it, and the ministry has done nothing to counter it, suggests that it did have, at the very least, the ministry's blessing. If it wasn't actually directly written by the ministry, it was certainly written by an organization closely associated with the ministry.
Why did you choose the title that you chose for this report?
I think for a number of reasons. One of the most physically striking dimensions to this whole issue, because as I say, in some parts of the country it's a very subtle phenomenon, but one of the most striking explicit aspects is in Chin and to some extent in Kuchin state, the physical destruction of crosses, the forcing of Christians to tear down their own crosses. And I think carrying the cross is what that's what Christians have been called to do throughout the centuries, and it's a good description of what persecution amounts to. But the striking symbolism of actually Christians in Burma being forced to tear down their crosses is that's the main reason I chose that title.
It's a very odd dichotomy there between people being able to freely practice their Christian religion and others then being told they're not allowed to practice at all at home or openly in public.
Well, it is very odd and it's quite a confusing situation. Churches can function pretty much in all parts of the country, but they are heavily restricted, so it's almost impossible to build a new church, and it's also almost impossible to extend or renovate an existing church or to build other church buildings, a church function hall or that sort of thing. It's also very difficult to get permission to hold church meetings other than your Sunday service. In some parts of the country, Christians are also physically attacked and churches have been burnt down. And particularly in Chin state, crosses which the Chin Christians put on mountaintops have been destroyed. And very often the military will force Chin Christians to pull down a cross and build a Buddhist pagoda in its place. So using Christian forced labor to build Buddhist monuments. But it is certainly confusing that on the one hand there's this document ordering the destruction of Christianity, but on the other hand it is not like some other countries where Christianity is entirely underground. Churches do function, so it is a complex situation. I can only think that the regime allows some degree of religious freedom in order to try and create the impression that that they allow some freedom, but underneath it all, that freedom is extremely restricted, and in many places, people are physically persecuted as well as restricted and discriminated against. It's also important to say that Christians in government service are denied promotion. There's a glass ceiling beyond which Christians cannot rise. And in Chin state, there was a statement from the regime describing the three biggest threats to society as A, B, C. A was HIV/AIDS, B was hepatitis B, and C was Christianity. So that seems to be how the regime views Christianity.
But why is that? Have Christians in any way in the past been viewed as more vocal in opposing the regime? Why would the Christian community be considered a threat?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think the regime is very steeped in a sort of perverted form of Buddhist nationalism. It has nothing to do with real teachings of Buddhism, but a real belief that to be Burmese, you should be Buddhist. So it's intolerant of anything other than their version of Buddhism. Secondly, Christians tend to be very often quite educated and quite active in positions of leadership, particularly in the ethnic minority groups, and so that makes them stand out. And also, I think, a belief on the part of the regime that Christianity is a colonial legacy and that Christians are unpatriotic and sort of a hangover from the Western colonial past.
How has this campaign against Christians then been perceived by non-Christians in Burma?
Well, all of the non-Christians that I speak to, you know, outside the regime, completely agree that this campaign exists. And in fact, the original request to do this report, I was actually quite reluctant to do the report because I didn't want to single out one group above others. But the request to do it came actually from two Burma campaigning organizations that are not Christian-based organizations at all. So when they asked me to do it, I felt I really should look at it. I think it would also be important to stress that there will be a statement in response to our report from both the exiled government, the National Coalition Government of the Union of Burma, which is the pro-democracy umbrella movement, which is primarily comprised of Buddhists. It's not an explicitly Buddhist organization, but most of the people in it are Buddhist. They're going to issue a statement welcoming our report, and the Rohingya Muslim population are also going to be issuing a statement strongly welcoming our report. So it's important to emphasize that this report follows reports that have already come out on the imprisonment of Buddhist monks and on the persecution of Muslims, and that all the people of Burma outside the regime seem to be pretty supportive of what we're doing in that context.
Christian Solidarity Worldwide's Advocacy Officer for South Asia, Benedict Rogers. For more information about this story and the work of this human rights organization, log on to Christian Solidarity Worldwide's website. That's www.csw.org.uk.